Eventually, well done everybody, despite all the interdiction. As Hugh has mentioned, that we're into 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as I mentioned in the email, I hope you got the newsletter and my introduction to the talk today. One of the disadvantages of actually looking at a book of the Bible is that there's always a tough bit. And this is the tough bit. And it's really quite harrowing and excruciating, some of the language in the first half of the chapter. And we really do need to experience God's grace speaking to us in how to use his word. Because I think human wisdom will take us down a dark alley, and if not a dead end. So I'm going to pray this prayer. So I'm going to start talking about something that God spoke to me very clearly in the International Coordinators Meeting in Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago, which was the first meeting of all of the leaders and coordinators of the Sword of the Spirit communities around the world for 8 years because of COVID. And it was a tremendously powerful time with fantastic speakers all within the fellowship and the links of the Sword of the Spirit. And it was personally difficult because I had some difficult conversations to have, but also really quite powerful and refreshing for me in my experience of God and, frankly, in my experience of what God wants to do with us as Antioch and as part of the Sword of the Spirit. And one of the passages that came first, really came to mind, struck home very powerfully, was this passage in Mark chapter 7, verses 32 to 35, which I think you can see. And it really appealed to me because it was really graphic. And actually, this passage was very much given to me personally. I really pray that I serve you in response to this passage. And I pray that you will respond to what God wants to say to you today in the same way. Let's read it. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. May all the things that I hear from the Lord be spoken plainly to you. May you hear by Jesus putting his finger into your ear, really, by Jesus spitting and putting his spit on your tongue and my tongue, that we might hear and speak the word of God to the people that we want to, that he wants us to speak to without impediment and plainly. Amen. So let us go into the difficult part, because this is God's word to us in our time. We have focused on previous talks on really aspects that Paul was encouraging Timothy to exhibit, and therefore encouraging us all. We talked about in the first talk, do not be ashamed. And then be strengthened. And then be approved. So messages to us as believers, to Timothy as the receiver of the letter, to not be ashamed, to be strengthened, and to be approved. But here we come to the third chapter, which is a very uncomfortable read. And I sent out, whenever you get a tough passage in the scriptures, it's always wise to look at a range of translations. Because sometimes our English is inadequate, and sometimes it's actually a better understanding if we get a spread of translations. I'm only going to read one of the versions, and I think I'm going to just start with the first section, which I think is verses 1 through 9, actually 1 through 5. And I'm going to read the RSV. You must understand this. that in the last days, distressing times will come. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, brutes, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure than of lovers of God, holding to the outward form of godliness, but denying its power. Just by reading that and just by hearing that, it's really quite powerful and frankly puts me to shame, because I have exhibited those characteristics regularly. And before we point the finger at anyone else that might be exhibiting those characteristics, let us point the finger at ourselves first and repent. Because we are human beings. We have the Holy Spirit, yes. We are, if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, being made into holy people. But sometimes and often we fumble and fall. And we exhibit these terrible, terrible characteristics. And it is people that are exhibiting these characteristics. It's not evil spirits. We can't really excuse ourselves or perhaps others by saying, oh, it's evil spirits. It's actually people. They might be inspired by evil spirits. They might be cooperating with evil spirits. But it's actually people and us as people that are exhibiting these terrible characteristics. Maybe just to clarify something, I think most people would understand this, but the reference to the last days is really the days following the resurrection of Jesus. So in other words, we're in the last days. And that's really spoken to by the references to in Acts 2, which is Joel 2. In these last days, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And in these last days, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So it is difficult for us, perhaps, as we look back over 2,000 years, but we are in the last days of God's plan for humanity. Before Jesus comes again, and there will be a last day when Jesus comes again. He will take those that believe in him and have confessed his names into his presence, and there will be judgment. So we do live in these last days. I would say in the sweep of Christian history, of course, all of these characteristics and all of these powers have been present throughout Christian history, throughout the time since the resurrection. But there have been more severe times than other times. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that we are living in one of the more severe times for the Christian people, at least in Europe and at least in North America, where these distressing times, as the passage says, are upon us. And we have to learn and try to respond to this warning that Paul says we must understand these distressing times so that we can respond. And brothers and sisters, one of the ways that we have responded to this word, as well as other words in Scripture, is actually by coming together as a covenant Christian community. And it may be in the distant times for some of us, and maybe it wasn't there when we joined, but really God poured out his Holy Spirit into the church, and we celebrated the 50th anniversary of that a few years ago, to achieve something. And we believe, and I believe, that he spoke clearly in prophecy to predict what we're now going through. And there's one such prophecy from a conference in Rome in May of 1975. And it says this, if you don't mind flicking on. Because I love you, I want to show you what I am doing in the world today. I want to prepare you for what is to come. Days of darkness are coming on the world. Days of tribulation. Buildings that are now standing will not be standing. Supports that were there for my people will not be there. I want you to be prepared, my people, to know only me and to cleave to me and have me in a way deeper than ever before. I will lead you into the desert. I will strip you of everything that you are depending on, and so you can depend just on me. A time of darkness is coming on the world, but a time of glory is coming for my church. A time of glory is coming for my people. I will pour out on you all the gifts of my Holy Spirit. I will prepare you for spiritual combat. I will prepare you for a time of evangelism that the world has never seen. And when you have nothing but me, you will have everything: land, fields, homes, and brothers and sisters, and love and joy and peace more than ever before. Be ready, my people. I want to prepare you. And that is one of the foundation prophecies of our movement. This community, and there are people here that were at the very beginning of this community, I think it was about in 1979, if I'm correct, Mimi, and I think Katrine. 1979, I don't know, maybe 20 or so people gathered in West London to respond to this type of prophecy, to respond to the scripture that says, understand the times that you're living in, the tumultuous times. Understand it and prepare and respond. Those faithful brothers and sisters came together to build this Antioch. It was called Love and Covenant Community at the time, or West London Community, and then Antioch. But those faithful brothers and sisters responded to the Word of God, responded to these prophecies that we have received, and built Antioch to be a bulwark, to be a place of protection, a place of peace, a place of strength for the people of God. Now, maybe in the last few years, we haven't really seen that strength. Maybe in the last few years, we felt weakened. Maybe in the last few years, we've lost faith. We've lost faith in what God has called us to do as individuals. We've lost faith in our leaders, who we felt was trying to do what this prophecy was saying. Well, maybe that's one of the aspects of this prophecy, that we need to be stripped of our trust in men and only trust in the call of Christ. I think these days have come. I think if you look at the circumstances of our world, particularly in this country, some of the circumstances in our families, I think you can see the darkness and the tumultuous times in our midst. And therefore, we need to recall the promises and the warnings and respond. And one of the ways that we do that, brothers and sisters, one of the ways we do that is turning our way from the influences and the characteristics that are described in this passage. To turn away from means to turn our back to these characteristics and to the culture that promotes these characteristics. That is what the Greek literally means. And I could have studied this more, but I don't really have the capacity or the expertise to go into any real depth. But the advent of the smartphone, the iPhone, in 2008, created an explosion of media, most of which, when you analyze the percentages, is pornographic, corrosive of trust, particularly in leaders, is full of lies and slander. Most of it is. And you will have heard reports that states that are hostile to this country are trying to influence our election by coming up with memes and by coming up with posts that are tantamount lies and slander to try to influence those that are vulnerable and that are naive. And that is just an indicator. That's just in democracy. What about in the kingdom of God? Because Satan's objective is to destroy the church. So he will clearly use every means possible. And I'm not saying that the internet is utterly, utterly evil. It isn't, because human beings use the internet. It's just a tool. But it is having a significant effect on the Christian people in, I would say, Europe and certainly North America. And that's due to just those characteristics. And we are to avoid these characteristics. We are to avoid this culture. And that is a stepping away from, not just the turning back, turning our backs to it, but it's a stepping away from and deliberately not engaging with those characteristics, maybe some of those individuals that specifically exhibit those characteristics, and the culture that those characteristics come from, to step away from that culture. This is all part of the Word of God and part of God's revelation to us. In some ways, what we just described in that passage is easier to deal with because it's in our face. If you could flick on to the next second half of that passage. And this describes, perhaps in offensive language, and we do need to see what God is saying in this offensive language. There are individuals, and these are people, individuals that have in the past and will continue to infiltrate the Christian people, that will try to influence us away from the purposes of God. The example used there are the two Egyptian musicians who tried to emulate some of the elements that Moses sought to convince Pharaoh to let the Jewish people go from Egypt. They succeeded a couple of times, and then they failed. And that has happened in the past, and that is happening in the church today. And we have to be intelligent and smart and aware that that happens. There is a reference, perhaps something that we would be offended by, to what is called women who are sensually corrupt. And that is not an exclusively female trait. So there are individuals that need to be particularly careful that they listen to the right voices and they listen to the right behaviors. Imitation is not reality. Please be aware, brothers and sisters, alongside all the frontal attacks that we have from media, from maybe our friends, maybe other sources of disruption, that we have to be intelligent, prayerful, and sensitive to activities within the church that erode the confidence that we need to have in Christ. The irony is that those people always get exposed. And I can think of a couple of instances in my history within the Sword of the Spirit, within Antioch, where that has happened, where people have come, basically taken certain people away from the calling that God may have, I believe they may have had. And then those individuals ended up in jail as adulterers and as child molesters. So these people, over a period of time, get exposed. So that's the good news, is that we find out that who they are. We just need to stop being influenced by them. Now, this talk will be really sad and really quite painful if Paul left it there. And he doesn't. And the next few verses of the chapter are full of grace and hope. And one of the ways that we are able to respond to these tumultuous times is to go back to the characteristics that have been exhibited to us, at least in the scripture, if not with other Christians that surround us. So I think this is the next slide. You have observed, he says to Timothy, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my suffering, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra, it wasn't just Antioch, what persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Indeed, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. So we have very clear examples, the antidote, if you like, of the evil and the terrible characteristics that these tumultuous times bring. We have the example of teaching, conduct, aim of life, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, and inevitably the resulting persecutions. Paul is an example of that. I can recall men and women in my life that have also exhibited those characteristics. So instead of listening to the Janus and Jambras of this world, find those people, remember them again, call them to mind, those brothers and sisters of the past, the saints of the past, read their biographies. I think we were talking about Rhys Howell the other day, weren't we? He prayed into being so much power of the Holy Spirit. He was praying, I think, at the beginning of the Second World War. He was praying on the days of Dunkirk when this country was about to be finished. Kiri and I share a passion for history. On D-Day, the churches were full. They had services every half an hour because there were so many people who wanted to come to pray for the men that hit the beaches. May that day come again. May we respond in prayer. May we respond to the word of God. May we respond to the examples of the saints of the past. And those saints exist today. And we have other obvious but sometimes crowded out antidotes. And that is the next slide, please. And I'll read again from the passage. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the men of God, and that's a generic term, the men and women of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Brothers and sisters, God has given us every possible source of grace and peace and truth. He's already given to us. He's already given it to us in the example of his son, Jesus Christ, in dying on the cross, in rising again, in ascending to heaven, and sending the Holy Spirit on the church 2,000 years ago and continuing to send his Holy Spirit upon us today. And he has given us his word, written down, whether it's electronic or whether it's on print, written down. My challenge to myself and my challenge to you is, what percentage of time do you spend looking at the scriptures and the word of God and the source of life? And how much on Netflix? How much on podcasts? I like podcasts. How much on social media that you know is corrosive? Let us, brothers and sisters, if we wish to respond to the tumultuous times that are upon us, change our lifestyles, perhaps. Change our lifestyles and focus in on the source of life, peace, grace, and truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. I'm going to end with a prayer. And I hope you will join with me. And it's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians. I'll just read it out, and then if we don't mind responding, if you will, and maybe if you're able, please stand. You're welcome to stand. That was a prompt. So I've adopted it a little bit. Paul is speaking to the church, so he uses the terms that address the church. But I want us to actually embrace this prayer. And if you can't embrace it, that's fine. But please do speak it out loud with me if you are able. For this reason, we bow our knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Thank you, brothers and sisters. That is a prayer that Paul prayed. You can sit down. That is a prayer that Paul prayed to the church of Ephesus. That is the prayer that Paul prayed for every single individual that wants to follow Christ. That is a prayer that the Holy Spirit breathed. And it's a prayer that we can claim today, that we are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, that we have strength. We have strength to stand. We have strength to understand. We have, with all the saints, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus' work was not solely on an individual basis. He saved individuals to create a people for himself. So we have to live this life with other saints. And the holiness, and obviously saint means the holy ones, we get it both ways. We give holiness and we receive holiness from the saints. And we will know, brothers and sisters, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that surpasses all things, all of the darkness that we face in our lives, all of the darkness that we face in our relationships. We will, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, if we focus on the right things, we will know and be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the offer that Jesus gave on the cross. That is the promise that the resurrection gave us. That is the power that enables that promise to come, is through the Holy Spirit. So as we think back on this chapter, yes, let us be wise. Yes, let us understand the tumultuous times that we live in. Let us understand those characteristics that can never be part of our lives. Let us understand that we might suffer from those and come back to Christ. Turn to Christ. Turn our backs on those things. Step away from those things. Immerse ourselves in Christ. Immerse ourselves in his presence. Immerse ourselves with the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and immerse ourselves in his word. Can we try and do that? I'm not convinced. Can we try and do that?
Yes.
Amen.